Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
The David Peralta game. The let me turn my light on right now.
Game.
Padres over the Rangers 6-4. They're 20th. Come from behind win of the season, which is more than they had last year. It might be their 21st, but who's counting? They've had more double-digit multiple run deficits overcome this year than they had all of last year. It's been a long day. And they win today 6-4. David Peralta the difference. They overcome a 4-2 deficit. And they win in Arlington. Manny Machado homered as well. Padres were up, then they were down, and they got really good relief pitching here today. 5 scoreless innings after Adam Mazur allowed 4 runs in 4 innings. So the Padres win over the Rangers 6-4. Make your way in. The Padres will go for a series win on July 4th, facing Max Scherzer on Thursday morning, 11:35 a.m. Pacific start for Rangers and Padres. So make your way in. We'll be with you for the next hour. John and Jim with you on the wrap-up show. Please subscribe. We are 40 subscribers away from 6,500. Can't do it without your support. We really do appreciate it. If you are a Padres fan, if you are looking for Padres talk year-round content, we have it for you. Please subscribe. Year-round content, please smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We appreciate your support of the channel. If you click the dollar sign below the chat box, we'll get to all of your super chats here tonight. We do appreciate your support of the channel. And also, if you want to become a member, you can click the join button down below. Look at this very generous super that has rolled in to start the night. This is how you start a night, by the way, with this. So before we get any reaction, let's go to Murray. This is incredible. Thank you, Murray. That is very kind. That might be the super of the year, actually. So thank you, Murray, for it. And he says, I'm a man of my word. Said if the Pods won 5 in a row, I would give you $50. So here you go. I don't even remember that, Murray. I have one point to make. MLB is a marathon, not a sprint. 2, example, Houston started 12-24. Now they're 44-42. Cubs started 25-19. Now 39-48. We'll be fine. LFGSD. That's a great super. We're appreciative of it. That's very kind of you. And I think your points are valid in there. It's a long year, and right now the Padres are playing good baseball.
Thanks, Murray. Really appreciate that. Clapping emojis in the chat for Murray.
Yes. You're right. And like in real life.
Yeah. Well, that's who. Yeah, they're fine now. I mean, they're much better. The problem was when this season was going how it was going, is everybody, including us, had PTSD about last year. And it just was like they were saying a lot of different things, but on the field they were doing a lot of the same things. But then they also were doing a lot of different things than they were last year. It was very hard to figure out the pulse and put your finger on exactly this team. But their identity now has pretty much been set for this season so far, which is, like Schulte says, they're a gritty team, which I agree with. They're a team that can put up big innings, which they have shown. They're a team that's never going to kind of lay down and die. A couple games here and there. It happens in baseball. It's not like every single game for 162. They're going to fight for every pitch until the very end. Like, it's just not going to happen. You don't have it. You don't have it. Example, last night, they didn't have it. And that's kind of who they are. Like, they put up infinitely better at bats this year than they did last year. They put up big innings after big innings after big innings, which they didn't do last year.
Yeah.
They have a better supporting cast than they did last year, I would say, with Jerkson Profar and Jake Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill. And I think Luis Arraez, you could say too, is like, they just have a better supporting cast. And
is a better team. Like, yeah, they might not have more stars, but they're like a deeper group than they were a year ago, I would say.
Correct. And all those things, like, are they the best team in baseball? Like, no, but they'll go out there and they'll compete and they'll fight with anybody. So,
okay. So here's what I was trying to say earlier. 21st come from behind win of the season. They're 10th when trailing by two runs or more. That's two more victories after trailing by multiple runs than they had all of last season. It's also the 20th win in a game they lost a lead, two more than they had in all of 2023. And then the quote from Mike Schill, and Darnay has tweeted about this, maybe being a t-shirt, grit squad shows up again. With a smirk, he said that. Grit squad shows
up.
Grit squad shows up again. Murray, seriously, man, that was very kind, very appreciate it. So, guys, if you're here, we're 40 subscribers away. How about subscribing for Murray with that generous super chat? How about smashing the like button for Murray? And thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Listen, Adam Mazur isn't it for now. I'm not saying he can't be a good pitcher in the major leagues. He could be really good. A young pitcher. He's made six starts. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't been effective. And that's putting it very lightly for the Padres. So it's, you know, a moment in time. He's backfilling, you know, he's like trying to fill the gaps with guys like Musgrove and Darvish out. We don't know about Musgrove and Darvish though. So I do know it's July and they're 27 days away from the trade deadline. And you're thinking about things like this with Adam Mazur being plugged in there every fifth day. That's not sustainable in the final 2 months of the season, not the way that he's pitching. The good news is they're 4-2 in his starts and he's got an ERA. I don't know what it is now after today, but it's over 7. Mm-hmm. Seven coming into this, and he didn't pitch well. He allowed 4 runs in 4 innings. So, you know, that has to be addressed. That's real. That's true. And, you know, the year without Fernando Tatis Jr., yada, yada, yada. What I said today, and it kind of panned out, thankfully, was, you know, John Gray has been very hittable by the Padres, and he was today. He went just 4 innings. And I said, if you score 5 or 6 runs, you have to, that's got to be good enough. And it was, because Mazur wasn't very good, but the bullpen was great. So the combination of Mazur with the bullpen scoring 6 runs was enough. But, I mean, it's a stopgap situation, I would think, with Adam Mazur. I'd be shocked if he was starting games for this team in August.
Do you have the line from Acey in his article?
I have the article from – okay, yes. So here's what it comes down to. So, and we'll have Acey on with us on John and Jim on Friday. The resilience does not come close to assuaging – one of the club's main issues. They get down early in games because their starting pitchers too often give up too many runs. Which, yeah, exactly. You're losing because your starters allow runs. That's what happens. That's how you get down early. Typically, Jim, is when your starters allow runs, not like your ninth inning, because they pitch later. And so that's where we are. I mean, starting pitching – up and down, Keith down, Mazur down, King up, Waldron up, Vasquez up until he got hit on the arm. You know, it's like, it's just like hit and miss a little bit. It's not overly reliable, but thankfully their offense has bailed them out a good bit.
Now 10-13 in the last 13 games. Or sorry, 10-3 in their last 13 games. My bad. They're overcoming some pitching issues. But we all agree, and they agree, and by they, I mean the Padres and AJ Preller, this is not sustainable. It's not. You can't trot out Adam Mazur with a 7 ERA every fifth day. You can't. You can't trot out, you know, Randy Vasquez every fifth day. Maybe you can, but contenders, that's tough. If you're going to be trotting out Dylan Cease every fifth day, he's got to be a lot better. You know, Matt Waldron, how is he going to perform in the second half of the season? Michael King, how is he going to perform in the second half of the season? Those are question marks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you've never pitched this amount of innings in your entire career. How are you going to perform? Those are question marks. And while the offense has been really good this season, here's how you win in the postseason. Pitching. Plain and simple.
And outscoring your opponent.
Well, that too, but you're not winning games, you know, 7-6 every day in the postseason. You might, but what if you go up against a team with really good starting pitching and you can't match that? You're fucked. You're screwed. It's over. It's done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if I had my choice and I'm in the postseason, I want the best rotation in the series.
Easily.
Doesn't guarantee it, but I'll start there because I just think elite pitching beats really good hitting, and we've seen that play out a million times. Not every time, but if the Padres are facing the best rotation in baseball, it's capable of negating Machado and Tatis, right? We've seen that, obviously. But when you've got that rotation, it gives you a shot. It just gives you a shot. It keeps you in games longer. And the other thing that the Padres have, and again, they don't have the best rotation in baseball right now. Could they become one of the better rotations? It is possible with health, more effectiveness, and additions. It's still possible that they could be a very good rotation. What they do have is Jeremiah Estrada and Robert Suarez. So they can shorten the game a little bit. Now, other teams have good relievers too and good quality closers and setup, man. It's not completely unique to them. But Estrada Suarez is a really nice combination. I know Estrada's been down. I know he went 2/3 of an inning today and struck out 2. Allowed a man to reach on a hit, right? Because Suarez came on with the tying run in the 8th inning and got a 4-out save, which is also encouraging because Suarez will give you that 4 or 5-out save if necessary. But that's the thing I do like, that if Cease was Cease, I can shorten the game a little bit with Estrada. And King's been good. Waldron's been good. But again, I don't think that's enough because, again, Cease hasn't been good and Waldron's a knuckleball pitcher. And I mean, he's a game 2 starter in the postseason. That's just weird. So they need more and they need health and they just need more.
How surprised are you when David Peralta hit that 2-run home run tonight?
Very surprised. Very surprised. I was, you know, we haven't seen him a ton. He hasn't hit. He has struggled. And honestly, even off the bat, I didn't realize it would carry as far as it did. I mean, that thing was a freaking bomb. He hit that. I mean, that was well over the right center field wall. It reminded me a little bit of like when Profar had that walk-off that we've talked about the Nats. I didn't realize it was going to travel as far as it did when Profar hit it. And same thing with Peralta. I didn't know off the bat the thing was gone, but good for him. What a big moment for him. You know, a tie game, big spot, 7th inning.
The huge moment for him. You could tell that the second he rounds first base and sees that ball go over the wall, he kind of let all of his oh my God, finally. Thank you. I actually did something because, I mean, he has been god awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's his first homer, right?
First home run as a Padre.
Yep.
His OPS is 590. Like, he's done nothing for this team.
Yep.
And to get that moment, you're like, David Peralta? Huh? It was just a really good moment for him and a huge moment for this team because that was the game winning home run. And tonight, just confirmed to me, like last night was one of those hangover games. Like they had 2 hits last night. They pretty much looked completely lifeless. And then tonight, 6 runs, 13 hits. It just was a completely different team lineup wise. Manny hits the 2-run homer there early in the game. Jerkson Profar goes 2-for-4. Jackson Merrill goes 2-for-4. Donovan Solano goes 2-for-5. Excuse me. Jackson Merrill went 2-for-5. Donovan Solano went 2-for-5. Just a completely different team today than it was yesterday. And I'm just glad because I was afraid of the hangover turning into a trend, turning into an oh no. And luckily, that didn't happen.
Yeah. And no, the point's valid. I mean, I think a lot of times with baseball, it's predicated on starting pitching. You know, Eovaldi has been good and pitching well And he pitched really well yesterday. Again, some of that's probably on the Padres. They can do better than what they did yesterday against Nathan Eovaldi. They did nothing. They had a hit off him. It was a single from Bryce Johnson. But the thing is, John Gray has pitched poorly. And his numbers are actually still good. But coming in, they put it up on Padres.tv at a 10 ERA in his last three starts. And the Padres had hit him. The funny thing about Peralta, now Peralta's home run was not off Gray.
No.
But we had mentioned during the show, Peralta has hit Gray. Machado has hit Gray. And it went on and on. Arise had hit him. I think Cronenworth has hit him. Like, they had very good career numbers. Career numbers are the number one indicator for success. Mm-hmm. Like, this ain't
rocket science. Ownage.
You know, I mean, Kevin could have written that in the post game. I mean, if you're 20 for 40 lifetime off John Gray, I don't care what you're doing this year. I'm taking the career numbers off whatever you're doing this year. So it was a better matchup, I would say, tonight. We'll see about Scherzer tomorrow. Padres have had some success stories before against Max Scherzer. We'll see if they can win a series tomorrow with the weird 2:35 Eastern, 11:35 a.m. Pacific start time on July 4th, a travel day for the Padres before they open that series against Arizona. All right, we're going to get to the Supers. Please subscribe. We've got 200-plus people here live right now, so please subscribe here on Content for Padres Fans, the home of real Padre talk. Thank you for the Super Chats. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box like Alejandro has done, and we appreciate you, Alejandro. We'll get to every single Super Chat here tonight. We do appreciate your support of the channel. He says, thoughts on Merrill's comment about team culture, Schilt over Bomell. We played this today on John and Jim from MLB Tonight, and he like flat out categorically said that this team's clubhouse is better than last year's clubhouse, and he wasn't even in last year's clubhouse, but he said he knows it, that there's no comparison, essentially, night and day, between this year's team and last year's team in terms of the dynamic. I appreciate the transparency and the honesty, and I think he's probably right. I guess he's learned a little bit about 2023, even though he wasn't a part of 2023.
Well, it's hard when you have your manager and general manager hate each other. Hate's probably a strong word. They just can't work.
Not work together.
They did not work well at all. Did not. Then you throw in the dynamic of big time personalities, which did not get along. Soto, Manny, like, just didn't work. The dynamics at the start of the season, Manny hijacking spring training to get his contract, making a fuss about Xander getting his money instead of him getting his money first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of dynamics in that. That did not, was not off to a good start. Let's just say that between those two guys. Tatis coming back from a suspension. There's just a lot of things that happened with last year's team that created a pretty bad clubhouse. Mm-hmm. I just find it interesting that every few years there needs to be a new voice.
Like, and by few, you mean like two. I mean, they haven't gone more than 2 years for the last six seasons with a manager.
Like, after
Green, Tingler, Bomell, Schilt, none of those have had 2 years, more than 2 years. Green's the end of Green's tenure. Since Machado got here, he's had four full-time managers, never for more than two seasons.
Right.
That's what it is.
Kind of tells
baseball
you what
managers don't have long tenures, but it's still a little abnormal.
Because the hardest thing to do is find a manager that meshes well with Manny and Preller combined.
This would be an amazing acting job if the Padres are faking their way through a good clubhouse dynamic. Because now it's Merrill to MLB Tonight. It's David Peralta tonight to Kevin saying, we never give up. We're going to fight every single at bat, every single out until the end. And again, every team says that at some point during a season, but they consistently all say it. So unless there's something on a whiteboard in the clubhouse, and there's not because the reporters are in there, but is there something they're getting emailed to them every day? Hey, make sure to say we fight every single day for every at bat and we have a better clubhouse dynamic. That's not happening. It's actually real right now. There is a good group in there, you know, in the clubhouse, and they are having quote unquote fun. It doesn't mean they're going to win a World Series or not win a World Series, but I think the makeup is good. It gives you chances to deal with adversity. We've said this a ton. I think they've dealt pretty darn well with adversity. And that puts them at 47-43, which is good. It's not bad. It's not great. It's good.
And that's
where they are.
And it took the players, the main players that were in the clubhouse last year that are in the clubhouse this year, to really make sure whatever they did last year to contribute to a really bad environment, that was not going to fly this season. Mm-hmm. I think it started with Bogaerts in spring training saying he would move to second base. And it trickled down from there. And then a new voice in Schilt. Say what you want about Manny, whatever. But like, yep. You know, credit to them. Hopefully this continues. I would love if this was more than just a season type of thing. Like if we're sitting here in 2 years saying the exact same thing, like last year's club was this, then I kind of know what the issues are in that clubhouse and where they stem from. And it's kind of like, which way is the wind blowing today type of thing. But this year's what matters the most. So if this year the wind's blowing the right way for these guys and for Manny and for like the clubhouse, then that's all that matters. We'll worry about next year. If all of a sudden things turn and clubhouse doesn't do this and people aren't listening to Schilt anymore and whatever. But I think the two main people in that clubhouse that have really kind of given them life has been Jerickson Profar and Jackson Merrill. Those are my two clubhouse MVPs.
And Manny Machado's last 13 games.
That is
like we say, they're 10-3, and Machado's on fire. Now, he's 1-for-5 in this game, but an impactful hit. A two-run home run is always a big deal, especially to give you an early lead. He's hit for power and slug since he called himself out, took accountability for his play, his lack of offensive success, his lack of slug. From that moment on, he has been among the better players in baseball, I bet, over the last 13 games. HBBBVPPPPJ, thank you for the super chat. He says, our homegrown King Merrill is Rookie of the Month. He deserves Rookie of the Year. Let's get to this conversation. I'll pull this up in a moment because I want to talk about the all-star dynamic, the starters, potential reserves, including Jackson Merrill, in a moment. So we'll get back to the conversation there from HBB, whatever it is, in a moment. But I do want to remind our viewers about our friend Mark Nemitz at Farmers Insurance, who has been the title sponsor of the wrap-up show since day one. 3 years on YouTube every single month with Mark Nemitz. We could not do it without your support. Everyone here live and on replay watching this show, and without the support of our partners, including our title sponsor, Mark Nemitz. He's a great insurance agent. How do you know it? Because I've had him as an insurance agent for years at this point, myself and my family. You know, everything, homeowners, earthquake, life insurance, and he can save you money just by switching your insurance. And if you need information on a new policy, he's got it for you. You can click the link in the description down below, get a free quote online, or call Mark. He'll give you everything you need, free quotes. Plus, he'll talk to you about the Padres. He does auto, he does home, he does everything. I had to file a claim in 2022. He saved us thousands of dollars. He saved us like hundreds of hours, probably. We were out of our home for 2 weeks. He took care of everything. There were fires at Delmar Heights. A week ago, he calls me and checks in on me and our family. This is the type of insurance agent that Mark is. I mean, there's a lot of people that sell insurance. There's not a lot of people that have the communication and service that Mark has. And he's a San Diegan, and he loves the Padres, and he loves the channel. So if you support our work, please check out Mark Nemitz. If you have any insurance need, he's going to save you time. He's going to save you money. So click that link in the description down below.
Yeah, all his information is on the ticker there, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to our buddy Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
I said last night I thought it would be a sham, or maybe I said yesterday on John and Jim. I think it's a sham if Jackson Merrill's not on the All-Star team. I still feel that way. Two hits today, infield RBI single off of third base. The numbers stack up, you know, 2.5 war or more, depending on where you're looking at it, whether it's Baseball Reference or Fangraphs. He's just put together a brilliant year is what he's done. He's deserving. Now, we know that Profar for the first time in his career is in. That was announced today. We know Tatis was voted in. It's obviously extremely unlikely he's going to participate based on everything that we know about his quad. But we know about Profar. We know about Tatis. Now we wait. Suarez, Arise, Merrill, whomever else. We'll find that out Sunday afternoon at 2:30 Pacific.
John, his season so far at the All-Star break, if you just said, if you take away Jackson Merrill, take away 21-year-old rookie, take away his, you know, like, take away that, right? I just give you these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in how many games has he played? In 86 games in the first half, 293, 12 home runs, 43 RBIs, 10 stolen bases, 784 OPS.
Damn good. Damn good. Approaching all, great. All, I mean, between all, damn good and great.
All star. And it's
yeah,
not even really debatable at all.
No, it's really not.
It's, you know, all-star numbers. And
yeah,
if you want to dock this guy for being 21 for only half, not only, but his June brought his numbers up to an all-star level. I don't see why he shouldn't be voted in. And by voted in, I mean through the players and the coaches. So I'm pretty sure that's how the reserves get.
Which makes it tough for a rookie. Players and coaches. Familiarity is a part of it. Veterans. So I think that makes it a little more challenging, but it's still, to me, very realistic, if not probable, based on his performances. And the Tatis thing, it's not always as easy as this, but it's like Tatis out, Maryland. You can sell that, I think, to coaches and players to some extent. He's just earned it. Like, yeah, even if Tatis is healthy, I would sell you on Merrill.
Because Teoscar Hernandez is going to make the team.
Yep.
You can have him be the all-star starter in right field if you want, and then all Dodger fans can stop bitching and crying about it. And Jackson Merrill replaces Fernando Tatis Jr. on the roster. It's as simple as that. I mean, he deserves it. He should be there. If he's not there, then that's where I'm like, okay, what the fuck? You know,
yeah,
if
I won't like it.
Luis Arraez isn't there.
Yeah, it's fine.
I understand it. Now, again, I don't think the competition, there's much competition at second base in the National League for all-stars. So he might get in just by default because, you know, two-time batting champ, guys hitting over 300, even with his struggles of late, kind of sit there and be like, okay, yeah, all-star, right? Manny doesn't make it. I'm fine. Even though he's put, you know, making a push right now.
I mean, he's making it.
His OPS is now 725, John. He has 11 homers and 47 RBIs. Are we in for the, not the same, but close to the same July that he had last year?
That's a great question. I mean, can he, again, we were like, is it even possible to get to 30 home runs? You do it every year, it feels like, with Machado. It's still obviously unlikely, but I think the question for me is like, is he going to get close to the numbers? The numbers being low 800 OPS.
I think
with
so.
29 home runs and 96 RBI. He may. I mean, I think he could do the RBIs. I think he could do the OPS. I think, you know, mid to high 20s home runs would probably still be pretty good with 11 into the second half of the year. They played 90 games. They have 72 left. But he's going to put together a very credible year. Again, I don't think it's a top 10 offensive year would be my guess in baseball, but it's a top 30 type of year among position players, maybe a type of year like that, which again is good, especially considering where he started, which was at the bottom of the totem pole. I mean, we're 2 months into the season. The guy had done nothing, even 2.5 months. The night in Philadelphia he called himself out was 13 games ago, and he had done nothing basically at that point, and now he's done a lot more in 13 games. Amazing what 2 weeks can do for you.
Yeah, and it's not like we're sitting here saying Manny couldn't do that, but there were legit questions of like, can he do that?
Right. And
like, you know, having a not really good season last year. I know he put up 30 home runs, but I watched every game of Manny Machado last season. It wasn't a great season. Okay. And then this year, the first 60 something games, it's like, or 50 something games, you're like, this is bad. And not like you see a little glimpses here and there. I mean, it was bad. He had 6 home runs at like the 70 game mark. And you're like, is this really going to happen? Now you can put up, you know, 25 home runs, but again, how impactful are you to a team?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. But here he has been impactful because the 10-3, you know, 7 games over 500 over this stretch. Now he's accountable for all their games. But like, if he's good and the team's really good, that's good. Like, that's the simplistic way to put it. If he's got a nice second half coming, Jim, and the team goes his way, that could be really encouraging. 72 games left. If Manny happens to hit for those 72 games and can carry you out, you know, I'm making it up. Like, what's a really great scenario out of 72 games, 42-30? Like, that's great baseball. If Manny leads the way to a 42-30 finish, by the way, if he did that, I'm just, again, spitballing, 89 wins. Again, I'm spitballing. That's really good baseball. They're 10-3 though in their last 13. So like, that to me is probably your ceiling right now. Your ceiling, I think, is high 80s. I don't know what your floor is. I'd like to think your floor is over 500. Maybe not. That's probably too early to say that at 47 and 43. It's probably too early to say that, truthfully.
Because we got to
figure out. I think your ceiling is high.
I think once we know the direction they go at the trade deadline, and by direction, I mean who they get.
Yep.
I think that's when we can really say.
Look at the floor.
Yeah. I mean, if they go out and get Garrett Crochet, we're like,
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. They're serious.
That's a serious pickup. And then they get back Yu Darvish. And I'm not going to count on Joe, but say they get back Joe for the final month of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
definitely possible.
Definitely possible. They just got to weather the storm of injuries. And they've done it. They've been doing that so far of late, which has been really encouraging. And you couldn't have asked for a better stretch during this time than what they've given you for the last 13 games. Truthfully.
Agreed. Let's get to these supers. Thank you, Quan. Appreciate you guys. Please subscribe. We are less than 40 subscribers away from 6,500. Can we do it potentially tonight? We need your help. Please subscribe. Year-round content for Padres fans, the home of real Padres talk. Thank you for the super chats. It is a great way to support the channel. We truly appreciate it. Like this one from Quan. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says he thinks the Padres need two more starters. Don't trust Musgrove returning. And King, Waldron, and Vasquez innings pitched unless... Okay, they're going to be an inning restriction, I think is what he's saying. Yeah, we don't know what the second half ultimately looks like for King or Waldron. Those innings are going to get high. They're already in like that career high threshold for guys like King and Waldron. And again, Vasquez, can you count on him anyway, even if he is fully healthy? Two starters, Jim? I mean, is that aggressive? Is that, what do you think, two? Or is it going to be one?
Who knows, man? I think you could, I wouldn't be surprised at anything. To be honest with you, starter and two relievers. Like, by the way, we talked about Jeremiah Estrada, and he's been really good for them. His ERA is a little high because he's had some blowups.
Yeah, recently. Of his like sickness.
Yeah. But I think they need more.
In the back. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah.
I think they need at least one more reliable guy. And maybe a guy that you put ahead of Jeremiah Estrada. Because if you had that, you know how big of a weapon? If you need a strikeout right now in that bullpen, besides Robert Suarez, who are you going to?
Estrada.
Right. If you made the postseason and say the sixth inning, you need a strikeout and Michael King has thrown, 104 pitches. And there's a runner on second, two outs, and they go to the bullpen. They need a strikeout in that moment. Who are you going to?
Yuki Matsui, come on down. I'm kidding. Yeah, but your point's valid.
If they got another guy that you could, trust in the eighth inning. If you don't, then you're going to be dealing with De Los Santos, Matsui, Morahone, even though Morahone's been pretty damn good for this team, to get out of jams late in games, sixth, seventh inning, in the postseason, when like if you got another piece, you can use Estrada there. I mean, if you went Estrada trade piece that they get Suarez or trade piece Estrada Suarez, like you shorten the game and then you get a starting pitcher and you get a starting pitcher too.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
That's what I think they need to do the most. I think offense is a luxury at this point because you're going to get Bogarts back and hopefully you get Tatis back too. I would put all of my focus on a starter and a big time back into the bullpen reliever.
Yeah, I would agree. I definitely do. I would say you'd prefer to have three in the back of the bullpen as opposed to two. Although like I go back to remember the 2022 postseason, the Phillies were completely overworking Alvarado. Remember Sir Anthony Dominguez? These guys are throwing nine outs. They would take those two relievers and be like, you get four, you get five. And that's they did much, it multiple times. And it was a lightning in a bottle thing. Everything was working out. Let's say you get to the World Series. They had enough offense with Bryce Harper, you know, so clutch. And then Dominguez and Alvarado and everything was working out perfectly. But I'm with you. I'd prefer to have three than two. Although I would say if there's a group that I can get seven outs from, like they're going to do it. Robert Suarez in the postseason, should they get there, is going to have four or five out save opportunities. I guarantee it. They'll turn to him for like a five out save. And I guarantee they would ask Estrada to go more than an inning as well, if need be. And you don't want to kill him. You don't want to go crazy, but it's the postseason. And I think these guys have proven they can go more than an inning throughout the regular season. Darapot, thank you for the super. Darapot saying, forget Manny's last 13 games. He's got an OPS of 861 in his last 30 games. Yeah, but a lot of that's carried by those 13 games. Everyone is noticing Manny because the slugging came back, but he's been hitting. Yes, he had been hitting for average. Now he's hitting for power. So now he's got all the offensive weaponry available to him, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he did that night when he called himself out, great.
Looked in the mirror.
I didn't have to do anything. Like,
no, you not really.
You know, hey, he knows
we called him out a lot here recently from that night and not hustling in New York and everything.
That's the shit that I love. I hate when you like see fans or see media people like coddling a superstar player. Like, no one's above criticism. Mm-hmm. It's just, especially when you haven't won a World Series here. You're not like a three-time MVP. Like, you've gone through, I mean, collapse after collapse and manager after manager and clubhouse issues. Like, I'm sorry. You're not above criticism. No one is. It's just how it is. And plus, you're also making the most money on the team. So there you go. And I love that Manny was the one that said what he said. I loved that Manny.
Yeah, it wasn't like someone else saying it.
No, I could have come on here every single night and I kind of, you know, did. We kind of did. And I could have said that, yeah, he's dog shit every night. Like, who am I? Like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, I tell you like it is. And if I think he's dog shit, then I'll let you know. If I think he's performing, and obviously I don't think, I know, like you see it, then you're going to praise him. But this constant, like, everybody apologized to Manny. Like, give me a fucking break, dude. Give me a fucking break. If this guy warrants criticism, he's going to get it. If he's also telling people I can take it, then it's fair game. And it's even better when a guy is aware of what he's doing and he lets people know the frustrations that he's going through and letting people know I need to be better. And then you couple it all together with him going out there and performing on the field. And it's just like, that's the shit I love. I love when a guy's like, dude, I fucking suck right now. I need to be better. I will be better. And that's the only option. I have no other option right now. And then he goes out and does it. You're like, dude, I mean, round of applause.
And that's what he's done over these last 14 games. Let's get back to this conversation in a moment. Plus, updates on rehabbing Padres in the minor leagues. There are multiple this week that are rehabbing for the Padres. But what about our friends at Movaglobes? Okay, one of the great products is available for our listeners and viewers by using promo code PWS10. You're going to get 10% off. How cool are these? These globes are officially licensed by Major League Baseball. They spin based on artificial light and based on natural light. And they've got magnets inside them that interact with the magnets inside the earth. I didn't invent the technology, but the founder did right here in San Diego, Cardiff by the Sea. They've got all 30 teams. You might be a Padres fan. Maybe your brother isn't. They've got all 30 teams. So click that link in the description down below. You can pick these up. It's a great keepsake. It really is. It's an amazing home item, desk item, something for your home office or your work office, whatever it is. Super cool. Listen, we've been sharing them with you here on the wrap-up show and telling you about them. So they got the MLB Globes. Let me show you these MLB Globes, by the way. All 30 teams, you can see them spinning right there on the screen right now. In addition to the MLB Globes, in addition, but wait, there's more, as we've been telling you about. They've got planets. They've got globes from like James Webb telescopes, the Carina Nebula, as I call it. Really the Carina Nebula. I'll play the video. Jim, you can talk about these puppies as well, but these are just phenomenal. I mean, everyone in your family is going to love them. It's a great gift item. It's a great keepsake for the baseball fan in your life, for the globe lover in your life, like this one right here. Make sure to check them out. Use promo code PWS10. You'll get 10% off. Click that link in the description down below.
Yeah, it's a great present. It's a great desk item. It's a great bookshelf item. It's just great for your office, at work, or if you just want to put it in your room or in your living room or wherever. It's just an aesthetic piece that looks cool. It's awesome. And it brings life to a room, I feel like. And so go out, get one right now. The link is in the description. Use our promo code and pick up either a Padres Mova Globe, or if you're a fan of another team, there's obviously other baseball teams out there. And by others, I mean every single one. So go pick up a Mova Globe right now.
What would you go? I mean, if you could only have one, Carina Nebula or Padres Globe?
Truthfully?
Carina Nebula?
I'd probably go like they're one of their Earth's globes.
What do you mean Earth?
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do I mean?
I mean Earth.
Did I stutter?
not Saturn, not the moon, not Carina Nebula. No. Earth.
I would go like one of those really cool Earth Mova globes.
I like Earth. I mean, I'm not anti-Earth. I'm pro-Earth. But
I'm pro-Earth too.
I don't know. Click the link in the description down below. Use promo code PWS10. Grab them. Officially licensed from Mova Globes. All right, here are the updates. Luis Campusano rehabbing 0-3 tonight. That was in Single A Lake Elsinore, I believe, here in Southern California. 0-3 for Campy, who will be back sooner rather than later. Take your time. Xander Bogaerts will begin a rehab assignment in Triple A El Paso tomorrow in an effort to get back before the All-Star game. Take your time is what I would say there as well.
Yes.
We don't have updates on Musgrove or Darvish. That's radio silent, unless I'm missing things.
Interesting.
And Tatis, I read from Kevin, I believe, is pain-free, because that was a big indicator. Once you're pain-free is when you can start the process of considering getting back on field. Like, that was a big part of a stress reaction, that you have to be pain-free before you can build back up. And normally it takes as much time as you've been pain-free, or it takes to get pain-free, is how long you have to rehab on the other side. So it'll still be a while, definitely, for Tatis. But if there's anything good in there, what I read on the internet from, I think, Kevin, was that he's been pain-free, or now is pain-free. But I think we'll see Campy, Jim, maybe, I don't know, this weekend. And I think we'll see maybe Bogaerts before the All-Star game.
I would take your time with all these guys. Seems not in dire need right now. They have the trade deadline coming up. They're going to get more starting pitching. You know it. I think not hearing about Yu Darvish is concerning. The Tatis thing, and that's great. He's pain-free. It's awesome. Don't rush this thing, man. Mm-hmm. If I don't see you in July, I'm okay with that.
Yep.
But if we get to the end of August and we still don't see you, then we got a little bit of a problem. But Bogaerts will be coming back soon. I would say right now, honestly, it feels like the guy that's going to be returning the quickest here is Bogaerts, right?
Above like the ones that we're really concerned about. I think Campy first, but I'm not overly concerned about Campy. Among the big four, Darvish, Musgrove, Bogey, Toddy, yeah. Bogey will be back first.
Carson, link in the description.
Yes, click the link in the description down below. Click the link.
Don't you already have, do you have it pinned or not?
No. It's in the description down below, though.
Okay.
Click the link in the description down below. Carson, thank you. He says, hey, guys, how much do relievers cost generally? Talking about like at the trade deadline, like what kind of capital do you give up? Not a ton. I mean, even for highly effective relievers, I mean, it depends on if they're on like a one-year rental or not. But top 30 caliber prospect, you know, maybe a little more than that, depending on the type of reliever. But you're not giving up a top sixth prospect in your system for a reliever for 2 months. You're giving up, I don't know, somewhere between the 20th and 30th best prospect in your organization would be my guess.
Yes, Gene, I've been seeing your messages. Kirby Yates is a great name. Have you seen what Kirby Yates has done this year, John?
I don't think I have, other than I guess he's been very good.
So he is on the Texas Rangers, so they could leave town with him if they wanted.
Right.
Right now, this year, John, 28 and a third innings pitched. He has 38 strikeouts, 14 walks. He has a 0.95 ERA and a 0.95 whip.
Crazy.
He's given up 13 hits in 28 innings. Last year in Atlanta, in 60 and a third innings, he gave up 35 hits.
Mm.
Struck out 80.
So he's fully Kirby Yates.
He's fully like Kirby Yates.
Interesting.
Again,
there's going to be names. There's a lot of relievers.
Yeah, there's a lot. But
and by the way, a team like Texas could be a seller because they're 8 games under or 9 games under.
Do you remember his 2019 season?
I do.
Dude, 41 saves, a 1.19 ERA, and a 0.89 whip. Like, what?
Well, a team that wasn't good, 2019?
2019, yeah, not a good team. And then he blew his arm
out. Did they trade him? 20.
Well, he blew his arm out in 2020.
Right. I remember that.
He didn't play in 2021. I think he might have got released, or he got DFA'd, or
was he rehabbing from injury?
In 2021, rehabbing from injury. And then he came back in 2022 with Atlanta and kind of had his resurgence last year. And then now he's back to Kirby Yates.
No doubt. But yeah, I mean, they have the capital to acquire relief help. You know, are you going to get the best reliever in baseball at a reasonable price? No, maybe not. That'll be costlier.
You're not giving up Robbie Snelling or
no chance.
Dylan Lesko or fucking
some 19-year-old position player in A-ball that has a decent upside, you know. Darapot, thank you. He says, is this about Manny Darapot? Let's not forget he had clutch ABs versus Atlanta and the Reds. I'm not sure because he had earlier had a super saying, forget Manny's last 13 games, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, he's had moments. I mean, even the first series of the year in Korea, you know, in the ninth inning, hit that 3-run home run, I think, against the Dodgers. He's had moments. Every player's had moments, though, you know, like, and the good players have to have a lot of moments. The guys that are paid, you know, the leaders have to have a lot of moments.
Yeah, the first 70 games of the year, he had moments, but then I can turn around and I can also give you big time situations that he was in that he failed.
Mm-hmm.
More often than the big moments that he came through. Like, yes, I know the Atlanta and I know the Red Series. I know that the start of the season in Korea, but truthfully, that was it for the first 70 games. And, you know, ever since he called himself out and ever since that 1-5 road trip through New York and Philadelphia, he's been red hot.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully continues. That's my concern with the All-Star break. On one hand, I'm like, oh, good, opportunities for guys to get healthier, right? Manny Machado could always use time. It's Manny Machado. He's talked about it. He just DH'd 4 or 5 games. But you get into an offensive rhythm, and you don't want to get away from that rhythm. And 4 days in baseball, truth be told, is a lot of days off. Back in the day, the All-Star break was three days. Now it's 4. This team is playing well. So from a team perspective, I think about it. And from an individual perspective, it's like, don't lose what you've got going. Like, Merrill is in a groove. Machado's in a groove. Hopefully that continues in the second half of the season. They just got to finish off this first half. That's all they got to do. 9 games remaining in the first half. Go 5-4. Go 6-3. And you are really well positioned. So that's all they got to do. That's all they got to do right now. You look at the wild card standings. I'm willing to do it 90 games into the season. And they are now the second wild card, a half game better than St. Louis. They are 2 games up in a playoff spot as we sit here today. So a lot of baseball to be played, but, you know, a decent spot to be in is what I would say from a Padres perspective. Jerickson Profar, we talk about, he's an all-star.
Oh, yeah, he's an all-star.
It's crazy. Every day, man, even tonight, 2 more hits. I mean, OPS is under 900, but he's consistently getting on base, and he's hit for average, and he's hit for a little bit of power. Not a little bit. He's hit for power by and large this year. So it's one of the great stories in baseball is what it's going to be. And that you're going to hear all about it in 2 weeks in Arlington.
this is, to me, the feel-good story of the All-Star game. I mean, the storylines are movie-esque. A guy that came up through the Texas Rangers organization, at one point in time, he was a number one overall prospect. He didn't really pan out with the Rangers. He goes to another organization in Oakland where he has a couple really nice seasons. And then he makes his way to the Padres and he becomes an instant fan favorite. He becomes an instant clubhouse leader. And then he looks for that big time contract, doesn't get it, goes to Colorado. He becomes irrelevant. And then I think he gets DFA'd, comes back to San Diego at 31, 32 years old, puts up together an all-star season, and not just an all-star season, starting in the all-star game in the place where he came up when he was a rookie through Texas. Like, that to me is the coolest story in baseball for the all-star game and for the all-star weekend, that Jerks and Profar, not really a journeyman, but he's been on multiple teams in his career, who has never been an all-star, at once was a number one overall prospect, a guy that, you know, has had nice moments, but never really put it all together, it felt like. And finally, in his early 30s, after being in the big leagues for over a decade, being called irrelevant by Will Smith and being voted in as the starter in the outfield in the All-Star game in Texas. It's just an amazing story.
It is a bonkers story. It is. I agree with you. It's much more unlikely than even what we found out today with, like, what did Sarah Lang tweet? That Tatis is the first player ever that's voted in as a starter, as a shortstop and a right fielder in an all-star game.
Yeah. And Mookie, like, Betts was about to also be that player if he got voted in as a shortstop.
And he didn't.
Yeah. So Tatis is now the player in MLB history to be voted in, or at least be an all-star starter, as a shortstop and an outfielder.
And in a very Tatis way of doing things, he won't even start one of the two games because it's going to take, I would think, a miracle. I mean I don't want to see it, truthfully, because that makes no sense, because the Padres have bigger concerns than Fernando Tatis Jr. playing two innings in Arlington in a couple of weeks. But Tatis, by the way, the four places one and two were Profar and Yelich, and then third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, they were all within 1 percentage point. Tatis was at 15%. Two others, including Teoscar Hernandez, was at 15%. Brandon Marsh was at 15%. I guess he was at like 15.5 and someone was at 15.4. Wow. So, like, that's how close it was to get Tatis in. I said it earlier today on John and Jim. It's almost impressive to me that he could win a national vote 2 years off of PED suspension. Like, that's not easy to do. You're getting voted in that. You didn't only get voted in based on Padres fans. You're going to need more support than that to get voted in. And he was able to do that. And he did it playing hurt, you know, I mean, for whatever that's worth, he played hurt, he put up the numbers and he kind of earned it and got voted in. Like, he did it all. He earned it based on the numbers and he earned it because he got the fan vote.
Do you think he would have made the All-Star team as a reserve if he didn't get voted in as a starter?
See, they change the rules every second. Right. Do they vote in reserves that are on the IL?
That's a good point.
Based on merit?
Maybe based on merit? If Shohei Ohtani all of a sudden, I'm just using it as an example.
Well, no, he's a starter. But
like, I know.
If Freddie Freeman was on the IL but had an all-star caliber year and wasn't the starting first baseman, does he get voted? Is he on the team as a reserve?
I don't know. Well, he's probably going to, he's going to be on the team this year.
He's going to be on the team as a reserve.
Probably be starting because Bryce Harper is on the IL.
Good point. Yeah. So it's all interesting stuff. I mean, the one thing we could say about Tatis is, yeah, he's 25. And what if he had been healthy, PD, he's got a chance to actually start a lot of All-Star games, Jim. As a 25-year-old, he's got two, you know, and he hasn't exactly been even healthy this year. So, I mean, he's got a lot of time in front of him. He could absolutely start half dozen plus All-Star games on this trajectory. Easy.
He has as many All-Star appearances with the Padres as Manny Machado has All-Star appearances with the Padres.
Two?
Yeah. Right?
Also, the all-time, I think that's right. What does Machado have? 2022 and when? Last year?
2021?
Makes sense. Someone put that in the chat. I don't want to look it up.
I'll look it up.
I don't think he has more than two. 2020 didn't exist.
He has 2021 and 2022.
Okay. By the way, in the history of the Padres organization, they've had two outfield starters in the All-Star game before this year.
Tony
Gwynn and Dave Winfield. That's it.
Oh, yeah,
they got Dave two Winfield. In this game.
Jeez.
It's kind of. J.D. Gaucho. Okay, here's a bit of a curveball. Jim, can Mickey say Jackson Merrill will be an All-Star this year with a Charles Barkley guarantee?
Ha! I guarantee that Jackson Merrill will be in the All-Star game this year. Ha! I guarantee it. Ha!
That's good.
It's pretty good.
It's really good.
Pretty good.
I wouldn't go as far. I know this is a super chat. I know it's Mickey. I don't know if I would guarantee it right now on Merrill, but he should be on the team. But I don't know if it's a 100% based on all. Who knows with all the teams and who's got to be on and reserves.
My thing is, I want to know when the reserves are voted on. If they're voted on, like right now,
already,
or were they voted on 2 weeks ago, or like when were they voted on? Because they announced the winners, or they're not the winners, but the reserves on Sunday. And do they vote like Friday, or do they vote Saturday? Like, do they count the tally?
Not later than Friday, I promise you that. And they're not voting on July 4th. My guess is all votes would have to be in. I mean, I'm making this up, but it's certainly not later than Friday. There's no like, hey, get them in by Saturday. They're working on this roster right now, guaranteed.
Because I don't know how it works, but I would bet you like they send probably like a link to the players and they just like tap in their vote for who should be like the All-Star reserves. And then you have the coach
work.
And then I'm sure the coaches have to vote on it as well. Managers like, like pick, it's like one of those things, like it's like filling out the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah. We just did it.
Preseason poll. Like they give you the list of players and you vote for like three guys or two guys or whatever.
They certainly don't make it as hard as they make it. Like we had to do work. We're doing all the positions offensive. Like with the players, they got to be like, hey, you know, here's a list. Here's 40 options. Pick four. I'm making it up. You know, here's two per team. Stuff.
Yeah.
You pick four guys on this two per team. But there's no way you got to go through rounds and rounds of data.
No,
players have no concern or desire to do that. You know, they're also not necessarily like the interesting thing about that is players aren't as obsessed with numbers as we are. Like Manny will just be like, oh, that dude's a baller. He's not necessarily going to know if he's got a 2.6 war or a 1.6 war. He's going to go based on his experiences against or with that individual. So it is kind of interesting how they probably that would be my concern on Merrill. The guys voting are like veteran players like Manny Machado. Like, do they know who Jackson Merrill is? Have they seen enough of Merrill for him to get consideration with the vote from players and coaches?
Well, I'll tell you what, winning NL Rookie of the Month is definitely a good resume builder for your All-Star candidacy.
Yes. Yeah.
Right before the All-Star reserves will be announced. I hope that they haven't been voted on yet. I hope they're voted on either on Friday or Saturday from the players because it's announced on Sunday. And people got to see Jackson Merrill, 1-0 Rookie of the Month. What's Jackson Merrill doing? Oh, shit. You know? But if the players had to vote, say, like yesterday, that sucks.
Right, because you wouldn't have known he was the award winner.
You didn't get to see Jackson Merrill win Rookie of the Month.
It's a good point. Let's get to this from Retod. Thank you for the generous super, man. If you're here, subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. And if you're here, thank you for the super chats. Click that dollar sign below the chat box. Okay, can you do this as coach? Jackson Merrill is really impressive. I won't put you on the spot again.
Hey, look, Jackson Merrill's been really, really impressive. Okay, he's a ball player. He has everything right. I love Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill should be an all-star. Is that okay?
I've heard you do coach a little better than that.
I probably
at times.
Yeah. I don't know.
Something about, I don't know. That was good.
Jackson Merrill's, I can't. Jackson Merrill's
good.
Jackson Merrill. Jack.
I mean, you work with him, so you know.
Yeah. It's, I have like a 6 out of 10.
That's good. That's not bad. Okay, guys, we do want to remind you, if you want to play at Underdog Fantasy, now is the time to do it, because you've got this special offer going on right now here on the wrap-up show. If you use promo code PODSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP, if you make a first-time deposit, you're getting a 50% deposit match. If you deposited $500, they're giving you $250. That's the largest deposit offer they've ever given you. You could deposit $40, and they'll give you free, you know, $20 free. Plus, you're getting a special pick for free. The pick'ems are incredibly easy. Simple higher or lower contests. Will Manny Machado have higher or lower than a half home run tomorrow? Will Max Scherzer have higher or lower than 4.5 strikeouts tomorrow, for example? You can play beginning with tomorrow's games in Major League Baseball, WNBA, whatever you're interested in. Soccer, obviously college football and the NFL are coming up. You can play across sports. You can win big up to 325 times your money in a single night. A few dollars can turn into hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. You can get that free special pick plus the 50% deposit match if you use promo code PODSWRAP right now. That's PADSWRAP. Play along, win big. You could be Jim Russell, and you could walk away with like a $500 win at some point or more.
And if you won, say, like $214.99, you could buy this limited edition Jerkson Profar National League All-Star Game jersey.
Oh, no, they didn't. Oh, no, they didn't. They broke that thing out?
I mean,
how much is that?
Who's spending $215 on this thing? Seriously.
Well, you can actually, if you want the elite, if you want, I'm looking at MLB.com right now. If you want the Nike Elite, it's going to cost you $449.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no go on that.
So I don't know if I'm going to get that. Probably not.
Again.
So you're really anti the hats, right?
I'm anti the hats. I'm anti the jerseys. I'll be honest with you. Jerseys this year aren't bad. They're fine. They're not egregious like they were in Colorado or even last year. Okay? They're fine. But, I mean, come on, guys. Baseball. I understand that you guys need to sell as many jerseys as possible, but at what cost? At the cost of making the All-Star game look like a complete joke, and every single year when you guys play the MLB All-Star game right now, the number one trending topic about the All-Star game is how hideous the jerseys are. Like, seriously, like, if you guys want to just... tell me that the first thing you don't see on social media during the MLB All-Star game is people...
about the jerseys.
Saying the jerseys are ugly.
You're probably right. And it hasn't stopped them from doing it again, having ugly jerseys.
The only jerseys of the new All-Star Game era of using, you know, these jerseys that I've actually enjoyed and I thought
2016
were,
Padres?
No. From, I think they started in 2021, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
You're saying they wore team uniforms in San Diego in 2016?
They did.
Okay. I know. I don't care. I don't care about these things. That's the thing.
I care. The only cool jerseys was when they were in LA in 2022. And the jerseys were everybody's regular jerseys. But the font was gold. So like if you told me, if you said, all right, here's the Padres home jersey, but it was just a white jersey. Same font as the Padres.
Right, like it was gold Padres.
Yeah, Padres font. And it was gold, white pants. And then for the away jerseys, it was gray with like the Baltimore Orioles font. But the Baltimore Orioles font was like gold. I thought those were actually pretty freaking cool. Everything else to me feels very forced. And they're doing it just for a money grab.
HBBBV. You're becoming like a zoo animal. Is this a carnival? Jim request. Profar is really relevant as Donald Trump.
I've never done a Donald Trump.
You want to try?
Please don't cancel us. Okay, here we go.
Jerks and Profar, really good, really, really good player. Love him. All-star, awesome player. Love him, love him, love him. Jerks and Profar, all-star.
It's freaking good for a first time ever.
I mean.
Dude, you're like a Rich Orenberger 2.0. Rich is always doing impersonations. Your impersonations are pretty good for a guy that doesn't do a lot of impersonations. Like everyone's got requests. Everyone's got requests in the chat. Someone said Jim do a Marty. I mean, you can't do every. Do you have a Marty impersonation?
A Marty? Like Marty Caswell?
Yeah, who else?
I don't have a Marty Caswell impersonation. Yeah.
But people are laughing. It was a good job. That was well done.
Thanks.
<That's> funny.
The best night.
I love it. I love it. All right, Paul's guys.
Like, do this, Jim. Do this. Do that.
I know. Razor Ramon.
Do you know who that
was
is?
More Jim Rome.
Jim Rome.
Gene says it was good.
Jerks and Profar. Great player. Awesome. All-star player. Cloned. Best of the league. Love me some Jerks and Profar.
That was good.
I don't know.
All right, guys. Enjoy the fourth. We are back.
Jerks and Profar.
Friday. Macho Man.
Yeah.
We're back Friday. Naughty Barrel. Downtown from 2 to 6 at San Diego Sports 760.
Someone asked me to do a Mexican Trump. Like, no.
I don't even know what that even means. So join us. We'll get to these supers that are rolling in. So if you want to get to the super, we'll get to them. And then we're back Friday night, by the way. We're taking the fourth off, obviously. Final game of the series between the Padres and the Rangers. We'll be back in the fifth Friday night as the Padres open up their series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Retod says, dance, Jim, dance. Let's give Jim a hand and just encourage more impressions when he feels it naturally. I think that's a good idea. Listen, subscribe if you're into impersonations and impressions.
Let me tell you something, brother. Jerks and Profar, brother, is an all-star.
Dude, are you like waking Aaron doing this?
She probably hates me right now. She's like, what were you doing?
Yeah, what were you doing last night?
She asked me that a lot. She's like, what were you guys doing in there?
We don't know.
The other night she goes, were you playing with your lightsaber on the show? And I'm like, yeah.
I was.
I was, yeah.
Hilarious. Hilarious. All right. Yeah, we'll see you guys at the Naughty Barrel. Rich just said it. Rich McGuire will be there. We're there 2 to 6 on Friday. John and Jim, San Diego Sports 760, free iHeartRadio app. You can find us on YouTube as well. Search for John and Jim 760. And then Friday night, wrap-up show, Diamondbacks Padres back here in San Diego. We're 40 subs away from 6,500, so please subscribe. We really appreciate your support. We can't do it without you. So if you are here, if you're a Padres fan, if you support the channel, please subscribe. Here on content for you. Smash the like button. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks as well. And then support our partners, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. If you have any insurance need, click the link in the description down below. He's been our title sponsor since day one. MovaGlobes, get them. Use promo code PWS10. Get 10% off. Click the link in the description down below and scan that QR code over Jim's head and get a 50% deposit match plus a free special pick by using promo code PODSWRAP at Underdog Fantasy. That's PADSWRAP. Padres win. In Arlington, 6-4, come from behind to win. For Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Happy 4th, guys. Thanks, guys.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.